gentlemen, how did the openings in Dublin and London go? Can you tell us about London in particular?
From the sublime to the ridiculous. Dublin was our hometown. They people came out onto the streets. It was well, for us, it was more than we expected. The city sort of spoiled us rotten, and there were flags up on O'Connell Street. There were thousands of people out there. It was really great. We played an impromptu concert. We sort of busked in O'Connell Street. I think it's probably the first gig ever in O'Connell Street. In the history of the country, it was a great one. And London was great. It was good for Amnesty International. Slightly more of the Rattle Your Jewellery Brigade than usual. So the actual reception to the film inside the film, you know, the English are very proper and they clap like that. Then the real fans outside got in later and apparently tore the cinema down. It was great.
Why do you want to play in Times Square, and are you going to?
Who said we were playing in Times Square?
One of the papers.
And you believe the papers?
Well, I wrote it.
Okay.
Are you lying? Well,
for you then. We would like to play in Times Square. I don't think we're going to be able to. We wanted to play last night in Leicester Square. It seems that they want to move us traveling musicians on, and it's
hard for us to walk past you know, such a large gathering of fans and not do something. But in London, unfortunately, we couldn't do a show. We would have liked to.
So you made a request in the city of New York to play in Times Square, and they said it was not feasible?
I don't think we have actually made. I think we read about it in your newspaper as well, and we thought it might be a good idea, but we guessed that we won't be allowed. Did we guess or did we ask?
Which? Well, we asked plans to do
it. That's right.
So it would cost $250,000 an extra.
Oh, there you are.
What kind of reaction did you expect to get from the fans? And so far, has it lived up to that? Has it been different than what you thought it would be?
We're not really seeing it with many U2 fans, except in Madrid, where they seem to allow the, you know, it has dawned on us that most U2 fans cannot afford $100 a ticket or £75 a ticket, and so there was a. You know, there's a little conflict of interest there because we want to make money for Amnesty International, for the homeless in New York, and at the same time we would like our audience to get in. So in fact this time for this premiere I think we got 200, in fact we have
to announce, we just got 200 back.
We got 200 tickets back, which we're going to put on sale somewhere in New York.
U2's dynamic film debut proved that the boys' powerful music translated very easily onto the big screen. In this clip, they were asked to assess their performance.
How'd you guys react to seeing yourselves on the big screen?
It's nice to see ourselves live. you know.
We've never been to a U2 concert before, so...
But,
why did you guys make this film, and are you happy with what you see at home?
It's fair to say it's excruciating for us to watch ourselves on the screen. I mean, I find it almost, you know, embarrassing watching you two on television. And as you've already seen, you know, as they try to position the cameras correctly, there are no good angles. And we're sort of really impersonating a pop group. We're a rock and roll group. We generally don't look good up close. That's why we've laid these outdoor places. Suddenly you have these cameras right in your face. And it is hard to watch. It's very hard to watch. I think it's a soul movie. Some people prefer sort of style. It's stylish only in its camera work and its design. But our performance is as abandoned and over the top as usual.
I think the movie serves the music. You know, that's... We really didn't, our Phil, and didn't know, I suppose, at the beginning quite what we were going to end up with, because, you know, we had no script, we just shot the concerts, we shot incidents on the road.